Crash course in keynote, the keynote address. How many keynotes are there? 45. Traditionally, there are 45 keynotes, and most of this today, everyone uses the art school, I think, pretty much. And okay, they did a very good job, very nice job of laying out the keynotes, emphasizing all the psukim, the aleph bays, and the psukim. It's a fantastic piece of work. It's really, what they did was unprecedented, to put in bold all of the important words which bring out. But again, the aleph base and psukim and echa and the theme. Every kina has a system. Not every kina, almost all of the kinas. I'm not going there, okay? Because that's a little bit over my head. It's very technical, and we'll end up spending the whole shiur on just the first kina on describing to you the system of the aleph base. Is it the atbash? Is it backwards? Is it a series? So let's just keep in mind that most of the keynotes have a system. There's a technique, there's a system to following the letters of the aleph bays and focusing on a certain series of psukim in Eicha. The first keynote is what we do at night. We have five keynotes at night. The first keynote is kina aleph. Okay, that's on your machzorim. It's on page 48. Now 48 really is just, it's not really a keynote. It's just a repeat of the last perek in Eicha. Perek Hey in Eicha. There is a collection of psukim, and in fact, in some of the old kinos, it says here in the art school, they did not even have a kina. They just said, just repeat. The tzibur should just repeat the last perek in Eicha. Repeat it. Because that's really what we're doing over here. And that really, that shows that the purpose of this kina is that the tzibur responds to the Megillah. It's a very fascinating idea. When we lay Megillas Esther, you don't have the tzibur responding to a perek. The Baal Kriya lanes the Megillah, and it's over. Koheles. You say four psukim. Okay, enoch adam, you say four psukim. Over here, we repeat an entire perek. That's really what we're doing. And we inject into the psukim, in the middle, the word oy, oy, mehoyolonu, oy. And we pretty much go through the entire perek, mila b'mila, not the entire perek. I guess in the olden days, when they did not have the kina, they just said the entire perek. But here, it's interesting that we skip a couple of things. We skip at the end, we begin to skip around, and I think that would be where the commentary would be necessary, is why are certain expressions omitted? That's a very interesting study to see why we left out. There's nothing here new. There's nothing, no chiddush. It's just a repeat of Perek Dalet, but there are certain expressions that have been left out, and that requires an explanation of why. At the end, there are four lines, there are five lines, which are not even really these are psukim. These are really the same psukim. So, okay, that is Kina Aleph. Kina Beis is said only Mitzvah Shabbos. It alludes to Mitzvah Shabbos and starts with the Beinu Bas. Eich ni pi Beinu Bas. Who is the Beinu Bas? So someone want to say this refers to the Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmol Kohen Gadol. The one, the famous king of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, his two children were killed. They will discuss it later on. That's one of the kinis, one of the very popular kinis that they were taking as captives. And there was one master who had in possession the boy, one had in possession the girl. They wanted to be mezadik. They should meet. They should produce offspring. They would sell the offspring on the slave market. And they cried, each one in the corner, until it was morning. They met each other and they embraced and they died. So some want to say that that's what we are referring to over here in the beginning of this kina. Eich mi pi bein uvas hagos kinos rabas. How could it be that from the mouth of the bein uvas there was an abundance? It multiplied the kinos. The lamentations are voiced in abundance. In exchange for Shidim v'chedvas, I always wanted to suggest, is that this alludes to the Zemer on Shabbos. Hashomer Shabbos, Habein Ubas. Right? Habein, Habein Im Habas. So I thought that this kina really is a takeoff of what we say on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the Ben and the Bas, they are participating in the Seuda and they're singing Zemiros. I have to go back and study it. But there's a zemer on Shabbos that focuses on the ben ubas, Hashem Shabbos, Habein Imabas, v'chulu. So that zemer describes, so here, with the churban, the ben imabas are no longer singing anymore. They're no longer singing zemiros. They're in galus, they're in pain, they're in mourning, they're in agony. And what has happened? Now they are hagois kinois rabas. the expression of kinos has multiplied in exchange to more, in exchange for the shidim v'chedras that was expressed on Shabbos Kodesh. And that's why this kinah is bedafka mitzvah Shabbos. Because mitzvah Shabbos is coming out of Shabbos. Ah, the zemer of Shabbos, the beauty of Shabbos. Look what has happened to us. We no longer have a real Shabbos. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So Tumah Halchim in what it means, Ben Abbas, either refers to the Ben Abbas of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who was killed, that's the next day, or it means Ben Abbas from Shabbos Kodesh. And we focus over here on different things that are relating to Mitzvah Shabbos. Normally Mitzvah Shabbos is a very happy time. We say Vihinoyam. Okay, every Mitzvah Shabbos we say Vihinoyam Hashem because it's the new work week. The new work week will mispal that we should be successful. Why do you say Mitzvah Shabbos? We should say Mitzvah Shabbos is Vitilcha. It's a real shame. No one wants to say Vitilcha. Everyone's out to the races. No one wants to say Vitilcha Mitzvah Shabbos. Because Mitzvah Shabbos is the beginning of the new week. Everything akol hoylech achar haschola. The siyata d'shmai to make good parnasa, to be successful, to make good investments, to be wealthy, to have success, have good clients, and to be successful in business is the very haschola. When does the week begin? Mitzvah Shabbos. So the very first thing you do Mitzvah Shabbos is you mispal for parnasa. V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Masa Yodeinu Konei. Our Masa Yodeinu should be successful. And you mevakish. V'yidim l'chalukim mital hashamayim v'mishmani aretz rev dogon v'siyosh. Parnasa. Okay, if only people knew the koyach of tefillah and the bracha, their parnasa is dependent upon what they do mitzvah Shabbos, I guarantee you people would sit in shul the whole mitzvah Shabbos. If someone would tell you, if you stay in shul mitzvah Shabbos at 12 o'clock, you will be a millionaire by the end of the week. A multi-millionaire. I guarantee you there's not one person that's walking out of that shul. I guarantee there's no wife that would even let their husband walk in to the home. The doors are locked. You stay in shul and you learn and you daven because when you do those few hours mitzvah Shabbos, this is the haschola of the week. Just like on Rosh Hashanah with so makbid simone milsa. Every mitzvah Shabbos is a simone milsa for the whole week. And the mela, the tsar of mitzvah Shabbos here, it's mitzvah Shabbos, not this year, it's mitzvah Shabbos. And look, we got nothing. Look where we are. We're the churban. So what's going to be? What's going to be with us? It's an exchange of a few. Yeah.
Rabbi friend always said that Rabbi Ruderman always said was every time somebody asked him what's the reason we do something, he said school for parnasa. Oh, he said that was the only way he got people to do it. That
unbelievable.
Was a standard answer.
Okay. Next, Kina Gimel is Vayivku Ha'am Balayla Hahu Meraglim. They came back. This is where it all started. This is where the whole Tish B'Av, this is the root. The root of Tish B'Av is the Kina Gimel. Okay, Mamish, this is maybe one of the most important kinas of all the kinas. So the 45 kinas, the root of where it started was on the night of Tish B'Av. The Merachim came back and they said, Efes ki asa'am. The land is taka very good, but Efes. The Efes, but. A lot of problems with the land. And that's where it all started. Vayivkom balay lahu Hashem, you cried a b'chir shal chinam. You're crying for nothing. I'm giving you the best land in the world. You're crying. It's to be a bechir l'dayros. So therefore, that happened at night when the meraglim came back. And the meraglim are coming back right now. Rabbi said, right now we were living the experience. They're on the way. You can go out into the stream. You can see the meraglim from the distance, and you can see they're going to come arrive. They're going to make their way into town just in time for Ma'arif. Just in time for Ma'arif, the meraglim, the 12 meraglim on their shoulders, a big cluster of grapes. They're going to be walking into shul to reenact in the shul in camp. So walk in, in camp, they do these reenactments. They do reenactments in camp. It's in Tisha B'Av, and as the Bath Davin Ma'ariv, who walks into the camp, into the children, the Meraglim, 12 people all dressed with a cluster of grapes on their shoulder. The Meraglim have returned from spying on Eretz Yisrael. They reenact the whole scene of what happened, and they say, Yoshua, it's a gewaltige play. The Gvaldka play to put on the night of Tisha B'Av to bring to instill in children the tragedy of what happened. You know, the adults would be very good to go to these things as well. I know it's very, very moving to go to these camps for children. Some of them do it very, very well. They really instill in them the whole meaning of what it's all about. Okay, next, Kina Dalid. Moving along, Shoimroin, we're going to say this twice. We say that now, we say this the last kina of the day tomorrow. It's a conversation between Ahala and Ahaliva. Ahala means Ahala, her tent. Who's her tent? Shoimroin, the Aseres HaShvatim. Ahaliva means Ohel Sheli, my tent. Who's my tent? Yerushalayim. There is a conversation going on in this game between Ahala and Ahaliva, between her tent and my tent. Who suffered more? Did the Aseres Hashvatim suffer more, or did Yerushalayim suffer more? So Mitzad Echad, the Aseres Hashvatim did not come back by and large. They were exiled for good, but the pain and the killing and the suffering was not the same as bad as Ahaliva. Mitzad Sheni, Ahaliva, I suffered much more pain, but at least I came back. Each one has a mile and a chasaron. There's a conversation between these two. We learned that in Yecheskel. This is rooted in what we learned in Yecheskel. Yecheskel is where the parak of Ahala and Ahaliva's family. We learned this a couple of weeks ago, and all is extracted. The conversation here is extracted from that parak in Yecheskel with all the various midrashim. Kina Hey. Kina Hey is the last of the night, and this is the Mazalos. It's a very famous Kina. A lot of people who talk Kinas at night, people who go to shul, they have a darshan at night, they talk about this Kina. The Kina of the Mazalos. Ein Mazal Yisrael. And here we have all the Mazalos in the article. They're very good. They give you a chart. They give you all the months of the Tola, the Shah, the Taimim, the Sartan, and each of the stanzas. Each stanza describes how the Mazal was mourning the pain, the tsar, to witness the Churban of Klal Yisrael. The Mazalos also mourned. Okay, so this is what does Mazal do with Klal Yisrael and Mazal Yisrael? But it's somehow, I don't really know more than that. Let me keep my mouth shut. I don't know. Okay, next. Then we start in the morning. Shalas. Okay, we come, we're jumping ahead to the morning. Kinevav. And you're you have to jump all the pages in your Machzor.
152
is where we pick up again in the morning of the Kinevav. We resume. Kinevav resumes from that. Now I want to tell you two. Now Kinevav, if you notice, Kinevav starts with the letter Samach. Shavas Sudu. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are five lines, and we go from Samach Ayin Pei Sadi Kuf Rei Shin Tov. Okay, we go through the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis. Each one gets five lines. So a grand total of how many? 45. Isn't that amazing? The first kina of the day has 45 lines. There are 45 kinais. There are 45 rows of bricks in the Kosel Hamaravi, the place where the Shechina still remains. Why? As we said, kina memhei, 45 is ma, al ma of the Haaretz. Corresponds to Pesach, ma nishtana halel hazeh. Memhei is the key, name of the game. 45 lines in kina vav. 45 lines, 8 times 5. And we only have the last eight letters of the Aleph Beis. What happened to the first 16? Where did they go? What did I say?
8 times 5 is 40. Yeah, plus 5
dollars. 4. 9 times 5. 6. That doesn't make me... Wait.
5. Maybe you're doing the... 16. You have one after the tough.
You have one after the tough.
Tavo, you have two toughs then. Kisum and Tavo.
I gotta go look it over. I have to look this over. Okay, let me look this over. Okay, let's strike that from the record. Okay, strike that from the record. I have to review that. I don't want to run out of time. I want to go through this whole. We'll have other things to talk about. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. The last eight letters of the Aleph Beis. What happened to the first? What happened to the first letters of the Aleph Beis? So those appear. We don't do this anymore in a krova, right? In a krova. What is a krova? It's a piyut in the Shemona Esrei. In the Shemona Esrei, it was traditional that before you finish each one of the brachos of the Shemona Esrei, the shliach tzibur would the tzibur would recite a line. So the lines of the Aleph were for the first bracha. Of us, the Beis was the second bracha. V'chulu, you have to, some of the machzorim, they don't have it in the arshkol, I'm surprised, at least in the back, they have it in the nusach of Shemona Esrei. So in other words, this kina pretty much finishes up the kina, the kroiva, that was recited in the Shemona Esrei. We start with Samach, because the Nun, Aleph through Nun, appeared in the Shemona Esrei. Just like on Purim, there's a Kroivetz. I think many people are more familiar with the Kroivetz that in that we recite piyutim in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So that's exactly what we did. We recite the first letters of this kina in the Shemoneh Esrei, and here we are mashlim. Now, what does that tell us? That reveals to us that kina is a continuation of tefillah. Okay, being that this kina is mashlim the Shemoneh Esrei. The Shemoneh Esrei is tefillah. And that's where we began. We began being mispalo to Hashem. Here is the hashlama, the conclusion of tefillah. What else is kinas? Well, the kin is also the continuation of the haftorah. What is the haftorah? Nevuah, prophecy. So let me ask you a question. What is kinas then? This is the hakdama, an introduction to kinas. Is kinas an extension of... Is it an extension of tefillah? Or is our kinois an extension of the words of the Nevi'im, words of Musar, of prophecy of the Nevi'im?
The things which happened, which the Nevi'im were...
The Nevi'im, so it's an extension of Nevuah. It's an extension of Nevuah. Mitzad Echad, kinois follows directly from the Haftarah from Navi. Mitzad Sheni, the kinois are an extension of tefillah. So what is it? Is it tefillah or is it Nevuah? So the answer is, it's both. In other words, when you daven, a person needs Ruach HaKodesh to know what to daven for. Think about that. You daven Shemoneh Esrei, you only have that much time. What do you put your emphasis on? Which words? What are needs in life that are important to emphasize? You need a Siyata Deshmaya to know what to emphasize in your tefillah. Every day is different. Some days you need refuah, some days you need parnas, some days you need shidduchim, some days you need geula, re'ein avon yenu, every day. It's a siyata d'shmaya. When a parent names the baby, Hashem puts in your mind the machshava what to name the baby. It's a siyata, it's a nevuah. It's a prophecy, it's mamash, ruach hakodesh. Tefillah, we don't know what it's about, you daven. There's nevuah, ruach hakodesh, okay, whatever it is, it is. But there's a very powerful lesson. Being that the very first kina mitzarechon is a hemshich of tefillah, because we're finishing off what we started in the Shemoneh Esrei, those who said the kina, and it's also a hemshich of the words of the Navi. It's teaching you that this nevuah, a person has siyata d'shmaya to know what to daven for. And the ultimate siyata shmai is to daven for the geula, is to daven for Hashem's pain to rebuild the base hamigdash with bias hamashiach. It's the blend of tefillah and nevuah. There's a lot of depth in that concept. Okay, now this kina does not appear to have a central theme. I tried to figure out the theme here 100 times. I cannot figure out what the theme is. Each one is a line which describes different aspects. Basically, the theme is that we are dejected. The basic theme is that we've been abandoned. All of our neighbors, all of our people who promised us to help us out, they completely abandoned us. What's critical to know about this kina is that in each of the first seven, there are eight different sections. But in the first seven, if you'll notice, there's a reference to the seven mikdashas, Mishkan, Gilgal. Okay, I can't go into the Tulama. You look here, you'll see in each of the third line of each one of these sections is Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Nov, Givain, Ivuyecha is the Bayis Rishon, Ivol and Moshav Lo, Dvir is in the next section, that's of Hoshe Vesavot, the Dvir Besacha. So you have your reference in the first kin of the Churban of the seven Mikdashis of Klal Yisrael. Mishkan, Gilgal, Mishkan was 40 years. Gilgal was 14 years. Shiloh was 369 years. Noiv HaGivim was 57 years. Bayis Rishon was 410. Bayis Sheni was 420. You have over here a reference in these seven sections, a reference to the seven Mikdashas. And then in the eighth, we have a reference to the Bayis Shlishi. Pininecha. Pininecha means like pearls, precious gems. Indeed, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is called the precious gems, but what do we know about that? Yikara hi mipnimim. Torah is even more chashuv than precious gems. That we have. Alma of the Haaretz, al azva mes Torasi. So you have your nice little reference to the bayit to the seven mikdashos. It's a very nice kinyan to open up kinyanos because we refer to the seven mikdashos, and we have hope for the eighth, the bayit shlishi, which is called pini necha, and we use the word pini necha to remind us that you really do not need to wait for the bayit shlishi in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have a tool in this world called the Torah, which Chazal tell us Yikara hi mipnimim. It's even more precious than the Torah. So this really puts everything in perfect perspective for the kinos. Seven mikdashos, all of them are batel, but there's an eighth one coming, the pini necha, and we don't have to wait to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because yikara hi mipnimim. Got it? Those are the seven. Moshe Rabbeinu, he put the Mishkan for 7 days. He put down for 7 days. Why? Kineged the seven Mikdashah. It says it in the Medrash. Yaakov Avinu, he bowed down to Esav 7 times. Hashem had a complaint. Why do you bow down 7 times to your brother Esav? Because you bow down 7 times, the seven Mikdashahs are going to be batel. So there's a lot in Chazal about these seven. I always wonder what's the significance of the number 1310. You have all the numbers. I don't have an answer. Tell maybe you don't even know the significance of number 1310. You have all the numbers. 40 for the Mishkan, 14 for Gilgal, 369 for Shiloh, 57 for Noi V'Givon, 410, 420 is 1,310. What is for 1,310 years in Jewish history, we had a central Mokim that we called the central Mokim. What's the significance? There must be significance in that number. I don't know what it is, but it's something to think about. Okay, now we go to Kina Zion. Very good. Kina Zion talks about this. I think the most amazing Kina, how the vocabulary here is just second to none. The Kalir, he knew how to write, how to speak. He used the Aleph Beis to describe all of the wonderful things, our glorious history. How could you be so swift in your anger? You did not remember the bris ben abasarim. You did not remember you did not remember the test, the tenesiyonos of Amavinu. You did not remember the deligas dilug deretz, the kefitzas haderech. Hey, you did not remember the You do not remember the Bezdin that got together to decide on the Mekadesh the Chodesh, the Mekadesh the Yid, the Smich, the Mekadesh the Levana, the Mekadesh the Shana, the Chitun Chukei Chorv Matan Torah, all the Yikar Yididus. You know, we didn't mention Yosha, the Chashivus of the Torah that you gave to us. You will not reject us forever. You do not remember that you took us al kanfei nesharim into Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned over here all of the glorious things of our history. He did not remember for us. There's a grand total of 11 things. Okay, the number 11 is a very popular number. Number one, it's half of the Aleph Beis. Number two, the number 11 is the number that is associated with Churban, because Esav has 11 Alufim, and therefore the number 11 always is associated with the power of Esav. And we mentioned over here 11 things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not remember, and we have tainus on Hashem. How could it be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you did not remember? We pick up on the concept of Eicha, complaint. How dare you not remember all of the good things that you've done for us in the past? How can you have abandoned us on this 9/11. Day? 9/11. So also everything is v'hashkacha. What? Is the 11th? No, Chodesh Av. I mean, you're counting from Tishrei. Counting from Tishrei, it's the 11th month. There are 11 Amos behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why are there 11 Amos behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why couldn't the Mishkan be built along the edge, like a wasted space? If you were building the building, you would build it all at the end. Why are there 11 Amos? Hashem is saying, behave yourself. If you don't behave yourself, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the number 11 is waiting to get you. Esav is right there behind. Kishazek comes, Zenoifel. 11 is a very scary number in Chazal. 11 is always associated with Esav. The power of Esav is always reflected in the number 11. Klal Yisrael is more, it's 12, it's one more. But if we don't keep our guard up, we put our guard down. The number 11 is always there lurking in the background behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim to chap us. Kinechas, we have to go very quickly, we're out of time. We have to go. Kinechas is about Tzipisa LeYeshua. That's what it's all about. Okay? Kinechas is Achabei V'eshem, they're going to ask Tzipisa LeYeshua. And we describe in various expressions, Tzipisa, all various emotion of a Tzipisa LeYeshua is expressed here in Kinechas. And it concludes with the most powerful thing of Yelusi LeZrostat Chazos, Ayumasi B'chol Shana. My nation every year says, this is the year. This is the year when Mashiach will come. So that's very unique because on Tisha B'Av, on Pesach and Yom Kippur, what do we say? L'shana haba. Not this year, next year. L'shana haba b'Yushalayim. And on Tisha B'Av, we say Hashana Hazos. Well, I joke about this. Why? Because on Pesach, it's gvald, you're sitting around the table with your family, good meal, satisfied, nachas, ah. So, Mashiach, don't bother me now. I'm enjoying myself. Next year, right now, I'm in a hotel, I'm living up a life. Mashiach, what do you want? Lashon Haba, Yom Kippur, I'm hungry, listen. David, I'm a Malach Elokim a whole day. Yom Tov is coming. My children are coming for Yom Tov. It's Sukkah is coming soon. I got a nice Esrog and Lulav, a beautiful Sukkah. The weather is fantastic. Mashiach. Don't ruin this day. Mashiach, Lashana Haba. But in Tisha B'Av, you're hungry, you're thirsty, it's hot, you're on the floor. It's no fun. Holocaust, Tsaris. You're not thinking about next year. He Hashana Hazois. This year Mashiach has to come. Okay, they have different ideas. Next, Kina Tess. Kina Tess is the Toichicha. Okay, the Toichicha in Parshas. In Parshas B'chol Kosai. Okay, it's all the Toichicha. We start with the good stuff. We start with the good stuff, the beginning of the Parsha, but we Mahapich it. Then unfortunately, even the Brachas, we Mahapich for bare things. The center of the Kina is a Ni Hashem, the point, the transition point between the Brachos and the Toichacha is the pasuk that's quoted here in the is Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You take different snippets. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi Ani Hashem Elokeichem says very powerful words. Kedai, I don't have it in front of me, the words of Rashi. Rashi says, it's Kedai for you to have Emunah in me. That's the penimius of the entire section of the Brachos. Verse the Klalois, it's Kedai for you, Klal Yisrael, to have Emunah. I can take care of you. I can do good for you. I can bring good for you, bracha to you. Why have you let this happen to you? Okay, Kino Yud. Kino Yud is Eicha Yoshech HaVatzelos HaSharon. There are 24 Mishmolos of Kehanim. Who had the most pain in the Chumbeis HaMikdash? It was the Kehanim. They suffered the greatest tzar because that was their whole life. They had nothing else. Other people had parnas, they were lawyers, doctors. They had agriculture, they were farmers. People had what do their lives. But the Kohanim, their whole life centered around the Beis HaMikdash. They were divided into 24 Mishmaros. Each Mishmaros served one week. They alternated 1 week. They worked basically 2 weeks a year. They worked 2 weeks a year. They alternated. And in this kingdom, the Arsh does a very nice job of showing, they highlight in bold the name of the Mishmar and the particular chait that they were guilty of. So there's Maroin. Moroin was the name of that Mishmar, and the Chait, it mentions the Chait, sometimes it mentions the Chait, it's arranged according to the Aleph Beis. Again, there are 24 stanzas connected to 24 Mishmaris of Kohanim. Each Mishmar lived in their own city. Everyone had their own city. All of these cities were destroyed in the time of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. There's a mingling. Some of the Mishmaris are from the time of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Some of the Chatoim and the Bayis Rishon, some of the Chatoim are from the Bayis Sheni. There's a mingling of the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon, but it's all about the Kohanim. Kina Yod Aleph is Vayikainen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Okay, some tell you this is the most important Kina because the third parak is the third of the fourth. The third parak of Eicha is all about, was a Hesped that Yirmiyah wrote before Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. He lived 22 years before the Churban, and he was a tzaddik. He brought back Klal Yisrael. He brought about an incredible Baal Teshuvah movement. The entire Klal Yisrael did Shuvah. They were restored during Shuvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, and what was the story mentioned many times, that there was Paro Nechal. Paro Nechal wanted to go to war against Melech Ashur in Karkemish, and he wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael, and he asked Yoshiyahu passage rights. And Yoshiyahu said, no way, you may not pass through Eretz Yisrael. It says in the Torah, V'cherev le'savar bi'artzichem. Yirmiyahu texted him and said, Yoshiyahu, you're making a big mistake. The people are not such tzaddikim. You think they're tzaddikim, they're not tzaddikim. They are doing averus behind closed doors. They are, when the inspectors come, can you imagine today, can you imagine be a committee today, everyone would be inspectors to come in to see if your computer has a filter. Can you imagine? If you're a member of a member, everyone, they come into your house, they come in, they check all the computers, they see if all of your computers have filters. That's exactly what they had in the time of Yoshiyahu. Today would be scandalous, such a thing to allow such a thing to happen, but that's mamish what happened. Inspectors came into everyone's homes to inspect, everything was kosher, there was no avodah zarah. So how did people beat the system? How did they beat the system? So the door itself was one big avodah zarah, split down the center. So when the inspector comes, the door opens up, so you don't see the avodah zarah, it's split into two. And when the inspector leaves, you close the door, and then the avodah zarah has been reconstituted. So they're able to outsmart the inspectors. And therefore, Yirmiyahu told Yoshiyahu, the people are not tzaddikim, they are fakers. They're leading double lives. They're living double lives. Don't be impressed. And therefore, you're not on the madrig of the Chavlo Sabri Atzchem. Yoshiyahu did not want to believe. He did not believe. Therefore, he said, Paro Necho, you may not come into my land. And he went out to prevent him. And he was killed in battle. Paro Necho and his army, they shot into his body 300 arrows. And he died. When he died, he confessed. He said, Tzadikhu Hashem. He was the greatest king of all the Chazal. They say he was the most righteous. He brought Klal Yisrael back from the brink of destruction of Churban after the time of his father and grandfather, Amon and Menashe. But unfortunately, he did not listen to the words of the Navi, and therefore Yirmiyahu himself, he wrote the third parak, I think it's the third parak of Eicha, was composed to eulogize this very righteous man, Yoshiyahu, and we focus upon that here in this kina. Okay, now we go to Kina Yudbeis. Kina Yudbeis, Oholi, my tent. Eight stanzas describing the tent. The tent is the Beis HaMikdash. And we describe all the milas of the tent. It's interesting is that there's no admission of guilt in all of this entire Kina until the very, very last stanza. Stanza number eight is the first time there is an admission of guilt. What's the guilt? It's really shocking. The guilt is bitsy. It's because of my illicit gain gezel. My tent, due to the sin of illicit gain, gezel, the stars have been dimmed. It parallels the Mabul. In the Mabul it says, "Ki hishkes kol bosar darkoi al aretz." In the time of the Mabul, Rabbi Yisai, no one had a filter on their computer. Everyone had a smartphone, and there was no filter. And tznius, it was above the knee. Can't say that in public. Okay, tznius was not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. But that's not the reason why Hashem destroyed the world. The reason why Hashem destroyed the world, even though it says ki hishkes kol bosar darkei al aretz, the reason why Hashem destroyed the world was because vayom Hashem al mayach keitz kol bosar bol lefonai ki mol haaretz chomos Rashi leinechtem gzar din ela al hagezel. Good morning. How are you? It's because of Gezel. And that's why. So therefore, over here in this kina, we mentioned my beautiful tent, and it says the very, you know why the tent was destroyed? Because of Gezel. Avain Bitsi. What? Where? In the 65 Eschanan?
No.
Al HaGezel. So that's exactly what it says. The tent was destroyed by Avain. The only admission of guilt in the entire kina is Bavoin Bitsi. Okay, so that's a very fascinating insight that we're focusing here on Gezel. There are a lot of problems. But the problem that has to be addressed is cheating on your taxes. That's the most critical problem that has to be addressed, more so than Tznius, more so than Lashon Hara, more so than Torah during Davening, more so than all these other things. You know, there's a plethora of organizations that will come into your home and put on a filter and check your mezuzahs and tell you what to do when it comes to tznius and tell you, give you free books not to speak Lashon Hara. Did you ever hear of an organization that has a hotline on April 15th to call a panel of rabbanim that have a shiloh on your tax return to make sure that it's that what you're doing is kosher? That you're not. What? A panel of rabbanim. Did you ever hear of such a thing? You never heard of such a thing. There should be an organization coming to tell you what's gezel, what's not gezel, shayla. There's a 24-hour hotline telling you if you lie and you give information for a shidduch. It's lush and hard now, lush. 24-hour hotline you can call. Okay, but there's no 24-hour hotline to tell you if the dollar is a kosher dollar or a trefa dollar. And lo nechtem gzardin elo al hagezel. And it's the feirish and the kinois. We have a beautiful oihel, the tent. Ba'avoin bitzi. How could you say these words on Tisha B'Av if there's any, if you have in your pocket money that came to you illegally or unethically? Vaita. Pasik Yud Mizmar on Mizmar. How am I saying? I'm old.
There is an organization. Yeah. I mean, there are schools now in Eretz Yisrael. They started some years ago because my son.
Business ethics.
Of course, the business.
Business ethics.
Where the people are, they're getting advice.
Shortest business ethics.
What?
Jewish business ethics. Shortest course in the world.
Okay, Kino Yud Gimel. Kino Yud Gimel is we take the word Eicha, Eicha, and we break the word Eicha into two words. Eicha. Where is the kol? And we go through in this kina, I think there are 13 or 14, I don't remember. We go through all of the glorious events of Jewish history. We go through Koye Zaracha, the Bris Ben Abbasar, we go through the Akedah of Adivan Anelchad Ko. We mention the Yaakov Avida when he had his business arrangement with Lavan. In Ko, Yoimar Akudimia Sichorecha. We have Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayifen Koy V'Choy. We have Birchos Koyhanim, Koy Savarchu Espinay Shol, Bolok, Vayoymer Shuvel Bolok, V'Choy Sedebel Brochos that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael through Bolok. Koy Soyma Levnei Yisrael Geula Elokim Sholachan Yeschem. V'chulu, we go through all of the beautiful events in history that were expressed in the Torah with the word Koy. Eiko, what happened to the good old days? Where have we gone? That's the theme of Yud Gimel. Yud Dalet. Okay, Yud Dalet. Eicha Asher, it's a hard kina. I never really went into this kina, but Eicha Asher Kivar Asu. The theme of this kina is that it was a foregone conclusion. It was destined to be that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. It's a very hard concept to understand. That Hashem in advance knew there would be a Chorban. And this was already understood from the time of Maise Bereshis. From Maise Bereshis, Adam HaRishon was already shown that there would be a Chorban. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed, he saw there would be a Chorban. Yitzchak, when the Esav walked in, Mi Eifo, Hu Atzot Zayid, Vayechrad Yitzchak Harod HaGedoyla, what's Vayechrad? So Chazal say, the Medrash says, he saw the Chorban. The Kina goes through, okay, we can't go through the whole Kina, obviously, this way, but it's very, very hard. I don't even know it myself, I don't know it. But the Kina goes through all the different events in history where we see that it was already known from the beginning that there would be a Chorban. Now, that's very disturbing, so why is that important to know? I mean, if it's already a foregone conclusion, so why are we blamed? Why are we blamed for the Chorban? So the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared us. The chesed is that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it would happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already erected safeguards, he created the refuah koidem the makah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not know in advance that this would happen, it would be a sudden thing, that Hashem would create a world where Hashem would not look into the future and would just let us destroy the world, as we did, then we would not be able to rebuild because we would not have safeguards, we would not have the opportunity, we would not have opportunity if we would not have things in place that would be able to help us move forward. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Tzaddikim, the Avos, they were given insight that this indeed would happen, that gave them the opportunity to lay a new foundation in advance, to create a refuah kaidim the makah, so we can stand once again. We can be able to rebuild ourselves. So this, in essence, is a very big chesed. It's sad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to reveal this information to Adam HaRishon, to the Avos. Hashem had to know about this. But the nechama is, it's to our advantage that this should be known in advance, so we can already prepare and put things into motion, that a safety net that we can, after there will be a chudu, we'll be able to rely upon the backup. Okay, back up your data. All the data will be backed up, so we'll be able to rebuild once again.
Deal with
Revach,
there will be time to recover in between.
You'll be Revach. Okay, Kina Yud Tezvav. Kina Tezvav, to me, is a nightmare. Okay, it's massive. Takes up half the kinnis. I always skip it. Okay. Always. I don't even try. I look at this kina, I just faint. I don't even try. And I used to listen to other programs and preparing kinnis. Almost every single darshan, every single public speaker, every single program that I've ever listened to online or attended, skip it. This kina is the favorite kina to skip, because it's extremely long and it's extremely difficult. It's very, very hard to understand. Only one thing is, the Aleph Beis appears 10 times. Okay, that's the key. That's the theme. The theme is the Aleph Beis, and the number 10 represents Shleimus. From all the kinois, the Shekina, which represents the total Shleimus of the Aleph Beis, is this kina. Aleph Beis, we mentioned Aleph Beis is Aleph Torah. It's the building blocks of creation. When you multiply it by 10, it has very, very great significance. Kina Tezayin. Kina Tezayin is an historical account of Titus when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He defiles Zachar Shavos HaTzar Bifinim. Remember what the Tzar Titus did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He defiled. He stabbed the Poroiches, and the blood came gushing out. Okay, two very quick things. From where did he stab the Poroiches? From the outside or the inside? Okay, this was last year. So from the Gemara, if you read the Gemara very carefully, the inside. Okay, you go as a child, they'll take the outside, right? He stabbed the outside, the blood came. No. Read the Gemara carefully, he was already inside when he stabbed it. Internal bleeding, which means the main tsar, it's an internal bleeding. You stabbed it from the inside. Okay, think about that, what the difference inside and outside. Number two, where did the blood come from? Where did the blood come from? This is a beautiful var. So you say it's miraculous. Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bleeding, he had tsar. Every year the Kohen Gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim and Yom HaKippurim, and he sprinkles the dam apar and the dam asoyer achas lemala sheva lemata, and the poroiches would miraculously be shoyev, would absorb the blood of the dam apar and the dam asoyer. So here it's 410 years after the poroiches absorbed the dam hapar, the dam hasoyer of Yom HaKippurim. Titus comes and he stabs it. All that blood that was absorbed for 410 years spilled out. It's as if Hashem says, you know what? I'm not moichel you anymore. You could have back all your blood, all the blood of the korbanos that I absorbed to be moichel you for your sins, I'm spitting back out at you. That's the blood. It's the blood of the kapara of all the previous years. He defiled the lechem upon him. Why is that so significant? The lechem upon him represented the chiba of Klal Yisrael. When they came to be oil l'regel, the Kohanim took out the lechem upon him and it was steaming. And what did they say? Ru'u chibaschem lifnei hamakoyim. The defilement of the lechem upon him was a statement, Hashem doesn't love us anymore. It's very, very frightening to see the symbol of the love of Klal Yisrael to be defiled as a statement Hashem doesn't hold from us anymore. Okay, what's mysterious here is, what's really missing is the menorah. Okay, the menorah is not mentioned here. The menorah disappeared over here. What happened to the menorah? Okay, the big story is the arch of Titus, right? He took the menorah. That's what Titus is all about. Go ask anyone, what is Titus? What is Titus all about? the Arch of Titus. It's the only historical account. It's a good thing there's an Arch of Titus, Rabbi. It's a very good thing, because if there was an Arch of Titus, they would say that it was never a Beis HaMikdash. They still say it. Still say it. But the Arch of Titus is like the videotape. Let's go to the video. I mean, what more do you want? The Arch of Titus is still standing. So what kind of baloney is this that the Jews never had a temple? It's like the biggest lie. The Arch of Titus was a toiva, Rabbi Yisai, for us. That it's a testament that there was a Beis HaMikdash. How could a guy, how could a non-Jew make a crazy claim? So where is the menorah? Okay, let's not, we have to go weiter, but it's a very good kasha, something to be, what happened to the menorah? The answer is the menorah is still lit. The menorah represents Eidos Shehashchina Shoyde B'Yisrael. That's what the menorah represents, the Ner HaMaravi. The Shechina is still Shoyde B'Yisrael. Titus was unable to touch the menorah. He took the menorah and put it on a painting, he put it on the Arch of Titus. But the real menorah, the menorah of the Shechina is still Shoyde B'Yisrael, despite the fact that it's Shoyde B'Yisrael Midrash. We have your mention of the Kosel HaMaravi. This is one of the only Mekoros, the Kosel HaMaravi. Okay, you have Rav Soloveitchik. He says this is the only Mekor for the Kosel HaMaravi. He says the Medrash in Shir HaShir, and everyone quotes, he says, shocking what he says, I'm not making this up, he says, it's not, we have a question, it's really authentic, what it says in the Medrash in Shir HaShir. That Medrash is really, I don't know how he can say that, he says, it's not really clear that it's authentic. But this is authentic. What? There's a Medrash that talks about a Pangar, the whole story about Pangar, about the Kosel HaMaravi. There's a fantastic article in Ami magazine this week about the Kosel HaMaravi, about Pangar, about that Medrash, that it refers really to the walls of Yerushalayim and all the archaeological evidence, the proofs. And we touched that Gemara, the four calls of the Har HaBayis. They have an incredible article showing that really refers to the four walls of Yerushalayim. Changed the whole picture, changed everything. Fascinating. You really have to see it inside. It's a really real eye-opener. Really, really, very, very, very good. But any event, the classic thing, Rav Soloveitchik says that we have in the Medrash Shir HaShirim is suspect, it's not being authentic. I never heard that before. I don't know where it's coming from. But this, Kina, is the most authentic reference from the Kaliyah. Goes back 1,000 years. Goes back 2,000 years. We don't even know really when he wrote it. 1,000. We don't know who in the Kaliyah lived. But this is mamash, a real makar for the Kosel HaMaravi. This year, Rabbi Yisai, is so significant. It's the 50th year since the Six-Day War. This Tisha B'Av will be the 50th year when Klal Yisrael is coming to the Kosel HaMaravi without any restriction, consecutive 50 years to be mispal for the Chomer HaMikdash. 50 years consecutively, no limitation. Klal Yisrael is there to be misabel on the Chorban Beis HaMikdash at the Kosel HaMaravi. Haflev Yovel, v'shaften ish el achuzoso Yovel li shnas hachamish m'shona v'shaften ish el achuzoso v'ish al mishpach l'toshuv. It's a time for geula, a time to return. Chazal said there's a segula, if you go to Damar, the Kosel, for 40 days, guaranteed Hashem's going to answer your tefillos. V'asnapel lifnei Hashem Arboim Yoim, Moshe Rabbein, that's where it comes from, the Makar. Moshe was misfal 40 days, so you go to the coastal, 40 days, this is a skula. Al achas, kama v'kama, ben b'neshul kal v'choymer, to go to the coastal for 50 years. Klal Yisrael, 50 years. So it's a very special kina. This kina, this year, is off the charts. Okay, that's what we said over here. When we come to the end, Al Tzad Maravi. Lezecher Hisrid Bo. Hashem left the Tzad Maravi as a Zecher remnant for Klal Yisrael. Okay, Vitzog, and Hashem stood Achar Kosleinu V'lorov Rivo, and that's part of the Tzad Hashem, he allowed this to happen. Okay, then we talk about the heroism of the children. The children, they were taken, that's the third part of this kingdom, they were taken on ships to Rome for immoral purposes, for Znus. And they gave up their lives when they recognized that they were going to be used for immoral purposes. They jumped overboard, they gave up their lives. And this is a very great act of Kiddush Shem Shemayim that is recorded here at the end of this kina. It really was the girls. The girls did it first. Rabbi, please, Rabbi. The girls did it first. And the boys, they learned this. That's a lot of mussar. That the boys learned from the girls. The girls took the initiative. Okay, the at olis al kulana. The girls, they were better than the boys. The girls were the ones that were Mois Nefesh first, and then the boys, the girls, what they did in their karka oilam, kedarkoi, they gave up their lives. So us, shalei kedarka, alachas kam v'kama, but it was still the girls who went first. That's an incredible, incredible thing. Okay, Kina Yud Zayin is a very frightening Kina. Talks about the death of children. The vast majority of all of these 22 lines talks about the death of children, all of different ages, infants, toddlers, adolescents, young people, all young people that were killed in the Churban. And the end, it says, let me preface my comments with what the Chofetz Chaim says. The Chofetz Chaim says, Zman Hazeh, for anyone to try to understand why a child dies, it's in the category of the prohibition of trying to understand mal lifnim or mal le'achar. What happened before, just like you're not allowed to try to fathom what existed before the world was created and what will exist after, it's forbidden to try to understand why a child dies, a child who has no sins. What could a child have done? It's unfathomable. There's no way we have any understanding of why these things happen, and don't even try. It's usur to try to understand. It's tzaddik v'ra'aloi. There is no answer. Yet, this kina was written 2,000 years ago. I mean, it was written a long time ago. And in this kina, the Kali writes something that is shocking. I'll tell you why all the children died. You want to know why the children died? It's because you murdered Zechariah ben Yehoyada. You murdered Zechariah ben Yehoyada in cold blood in the Beis Hamikdash. He was an innocent man. It was the Beis Hamikdash. He was a Kohen. He was a Shofet. It was Shabbos, Yom Kippur. And he was telling you not to have Avodah Zarah, so you killed him, I'm going to kill your children. Question, my inyan, what's the connection between Yehoyada and Zechariah ben Yehoyada and children? So the simple answer is because the people knew his father very, very well. Yehoyada, his father was a much bigger celebrity than Zechariah. Yehoyada was the one that is credited for saving Klal Yisrael after Asaliah murdered all of the descendants of Beis David. And Asaliah's son, Yehoahaz, died. So she went and she murdered everyone else because she wanted to be queen. And Yehoyada, he formed a kesher, conspiracy, a coup against her with his wife. And in the meantime, they saved the remnant of the Malchus of Yoyosh. Yoyosh was hidden in the Chadar Hamitais in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Yehoyada was a hero. He was the greatest hero in Klal Yisrael. He was buried with the kings, even though he was not part of Malchus David. And then when he died, so then what happened? He had a son. The Rav had a son. And what did the Kehillah do to the Rav's son? They murdered him. What a chutzpah. Even if you don't like the rabbi's son, just out of derech eretz for the Rav, for the father, for the one to whom you own, you have an obligation. Forget about nepotism. Forget about. What does a person care about in this world? His children. If you really have any derech eretz for Yehoyada, what he did for you, you should give him, you should be mahan him. What would he want? He would want that his son should have a parnasa, his son should have something in this world. And what do you do to his son, the one that you owe your whole clan as a debt of gratitude? You murder him. Cold blood. For nothing. Nothing of nothing. You don't care about someone else's child. Mida keneged mida. I don't care about your children. And that's why this kina describes all of the death. Again, don't get carried. That was 2,000 years ago. Chofetz Chaim says, don't chas v'shalom start making any calculations today. Today, it is usur for a person to even have a havamina to try to fathom why it happens. We're not living in such times with such people where these things are shaykh to us. In no way whatsoever. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing when you have a reason. Why did the Holocaust happen? Don't go there, Rabbi Isai. Don't go there. Why do bad things happen to good people? Don't go there. Okay, anyone starts talking about why good things are starting, and then you know what's really the worst by me? It eats me up when they tell you you're a Gilgal. That really eats me up. You're a Gilgal. Okay. What? Gilgal? I mean, I guess so. but don't tell it to me. I mean, tzaddik v'ra'lo, there is no answer. So out of desperation, we look for reasons. And it's a very easy reason to become a Scientologist. Right? That's a very, very easy out. And it makes a lot of sense, right? The reincarnation, this and that, it's a very easy out. It's a very easy out. And people who are naive and gullible, they go for this type of stuff. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is to deal with something which really doesn't have, there's no answer for it, and it's very, very painful. And you can't take away from a person the tsar of groping with tzaddik v'ra'lo, and there's no solution, and you can't judge someone else. Al todin es chaverat shiyamim mekayma. When a person is in a crisis, a person has a tzara, rachmanu l'tzon, lose a child, and what are you going to say? What are you going to say? So the only nechama is to find a reason. So they say it was a special neshama. He came into the world to make a tikkun. All right, look at that. Maybe that's a little different. You're a little child. You could say the neshama came here for just to, he was, Hashem gave you a matana to give you this neshama. These are very comforting words. It's still.
The Gemara,
I don't know. The Gemara doesn't talk. No, the Gemara doesn't talk. They don't know. I don't think Gemara. What? Accepted, but the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara never, ever, ever talks about Gilgal. Never. There's absolutely no zecher of Gilgal Neshamos in the Talmud. Gilgal Neshamos is a new thing. It's a new thing that has been invented. Not invented. It always existed, but it's something that it was never spoken about. Okay, weiter. In this kina gives you, it's a very dangerous kina. Okay, I just want to point out, it's a very dangerous kina because it says the very last lines, V'ruach HaKodesh L'ulam Ma'amarim complains, thunders, Hoy Al Kol Shchein HaRoim, Ma'ashik Ra'am Moedim, you complain to me about your tzaris. The Eis Asher Lo'yosu Lo'in Moedim, you don't tell me about your sins. Into Chalno Noshim Piyah Ma'ashmi, you tell me about eating your children, but V'imihorek B'migdash Hashem Koyin V'novi Lo'i Ma'ashmi, that you don't want to tell me about. Kina tells you why it happened. Okay, and one more, and that's a very dangerous thing to tell you why bad things happen to good people. Okay, kina yudches. I don't really know of a theme. Basically, is aton lama. We confront Hashem. You Hashem, we point fingers. This is really the theme of Tisha B'Av, is to complain. Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to complain. Kaval de G'day. Jews love to complain. They love it. They thrive. They thrive on complaining. Tisha B'Av is gold. It's gold. To be able to let it out. And you're allowed to. You're allowed to. The whole year round, you're not allowed to complain. Don't complain. Complain. People have it a lot worse. Hey, you think you have it bad? Whatever problem you have, there are millions of people that have that same problem. Worse. Worse. It's not really a satisfying answer because you can't live like that. You can't live a whole life. Someone has it worse. You have to have something positive to live for also. Okay, it's not always a good answer. It's true, people have it a lot worse. You need a little chis in life also to be satisfied. But you're allowed to complain on Tisha B'Av, and here we let it out. Here we just open the faucet and let out. You, Hashem, promised us this. How dare you? Vilama! Why did you do this to us? That's the whole kina. Over and over and over again, we have kindness against Hashem. It's good. It's healthy. It's healthy once in a while to let it out. Kina yutes is tzidukai. Okay, that was kina. That was kina yutes. Now kina yutes is tzidukadin. Tzidukadin is very important. We say tzidukadin Shabbos Mincha. Tzidkoscha tzedek li'olam. We psukim. Tzidukadin we'd say at a funeral. Tzidukadin. Say tzidukadin. We spoke about this in Haftarah. Sur kol ha'lovim, tzadik b'chol hadaros. Every time you sign the haftarah, you say tzidik adin. You say tzidik adin. When else?
Before you die.
You say on Yom Kippurim, v'atosh v'atot tzadik Hashem al kol ba'oleinu, ki emes osisa. So we have a whole kina devoted to tzidik adin. Okay, next. Kina chaf. Kina chaf is hatei Hashem. This is Daniel. Okay, Daniel is the one. This is Daniel. Is the one. He's really. It's an offshoot of the word the tefillah of Daniel. Daniel ish hamudos. To listen, we use these psukim in the Monday Thursday, the hurachum in Tachmon on Monday Thursday. Hatei elokai oznecha lisif letzes minna etzes milei vashamayim. Ushma and listen. Hatei and listen. This is the expression of Daniel. I don't have any chidushim. We learned Daniel. Okay, Daniel had a unique approach. Daniel's approach was the tkufa of the korban bayis rishon. It was a transition between the bayis rishon and the bayis sheni. Daniel, he's the one who invented these expressions, and it relates very much, this whole kina relates to his life and his contribution to Klal Yisrael. I think of Soloveitchik, he reads into this kina, he looked very, very carefully. This kina is the entire ideology of Christianity. Christianity, from top to bottom, and all of their false claims and our response is alluded to in every single word here in this kina. So they took use of Daniel, and they used Daniel as a way to delve in and to rip into dealing with...
Or even to disguise it.
What? Or to disguise the conversation that we are having with the church, with the Christians, and to rip them to shreds for their apikursis and the blood they have on their hands for what they've done to Klal Yisrael. He doesn't really talk about it. He just says it. They say this both in the book and in the Quran. But he doesn't really delve into it. It could be, a lot of things that he said were not recorded. It's very sad. A lot of the good stuff that Rav Soloveitchik spoke about on Tisha B'Av was not recorded. The guy woke up late. That's what it says. It says that in the Hagdamah. The guy who was supposed to come record, he woke up late. He came late to shul, so he didn't record it that year. Chaval for Klal Yisrael. It was lost.
But the equipment was poor.
Yeah, it was very poor. They said somebody couldn't remember the tapes. It's impossible to hear. They have to go give it to clean up. Right? It's a chaval.
You gave shiur, you always had at least a dozen tape recorders on the desk.
Because that wasn't the shiur, but this was in what's the name of the place? What's the name of the city they called?
Yeah.
No, not Maria. That shul. Onset. 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 I have, if you want, I have pictures of Onset at the shul exactly where he gave the kinnas.
Okay.
My nephews, they went to a camp for 2 weeks in that place. Okay, kina, we're running out of time. Kina, we're running out. Kina yura, kina chavalef. Arze halavanon. Okay, the asara haruge malchus. Asara malchus, did they all live at the same time? No. They lived about at least 65 years apart. From the kina, you get the impression they all died on the same day. The first two, the nasi and the melech, they died chof hei elul. They died before the churban was in Tesbaf. They already died a year before, almost a year before. The Nasi and the Melech were killed. Everyone else died at different points in time, some during the Churban. Rabbi Akiva, Lechur, died at least 60 years later. Bar Kochva, at least 60 years later. Some say even more, some say even 90 years later. It's a very big mystery. If you look in all of the, I think I have a sefer at home called Asura Gemalchus. It has your 42 piyutim. 42 piyutim written by Kadmainim about the Asura Gemalchus. Everyone has their own version of the Asura Gemalchus. I make Kheshbim that there are 23 candidates. There are a total of 23 candidates for the Asara Haruge Malchus. We have here 8. In this kina, only what happened to 2? 2 are missing. It was censored, it got lost. So we know what it is. I have over here. You can edit it, whatever. I'm not gonna, but we have over here in this kina, it only has 8. For some reason the art scroll did not put it back in. I think a lot of the new kinas, they put it back in. We know for sure, so they put back in the missing 2 lines to make it 10. For whatever reason, the old ones don't have, they only have 8. We know who the other two are. There are really 23 candidates. It doesn't make a difference. In Chazal, you should know, I saw in the Sefer, very good Sefer, if it says, you should know that in Chazal, the Asura Haruge Malchus are always called with one term, Rabbi Akiva Vachaverov. So you saw it. The Iker of the Asura Haruge Malchus is Rabbi Akiva. Everyone else was Chaverov. Even though he was from the last to die, 65 years later, and he's not the first here. At first, we go, the most dramatic is Rabbi Shmuel, the Nasi and the Melech, the conversation, who should go first, a Goyrol, and then they killed the Melech, the Nasi, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel held in his hands the head, the decapitated head of the Nasi, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and he said, what were his words? His words were, Natal Roishoy Unisonai Al Arkubaisa put on his knees. Minoira Hatahira, you are the Minoira Hatahira. Some Ainav Al Ainav put his eyes on his eyes, Piv Al Pib, Ba'avu Gmur, the love, Onav Omar Peh, Hamiskaber Batoira. How could it be the Peh? Hamiskaber Batoira, Pisim, Niknisa, Allah, Misa, Mishunav Hamura. And the daughter of the Hegmon when she saw Rabbi Shmuel crying, she saw his exquisite beauty. She told her father, let him live. I like what he looks like. He said, no, we can't do that. But instead, we will preserve his flesh. So they flayed his flesh when he was alive. And when they came to the Mekayim HaTfilin, he gave out, Rosha HaPayshet Eisei Gilim Mekayim HaTfilin Mitzvara, Tzoak Tzoaka V'nizdaza Oilam V'eretz Hispayra. The earth quaked, the earth shook when they flayed the skin off his head when they came to Mekayim HaTfilin. Okay, so that's a very dramatic part of the Kina, the Asara HaRegimalchus. I'm sure tomorrow you'll hear a lot of Torah. Wherever you go here, wherever Rav speaks, is sure going to focus on the Asara HaRegimalchus.
9 a.m.
What?
9 a.m.
Every shul daven is a different time. Wherever you go, Kina Chabez. Kina Chabez starts. Okay, we're running out of time very quickly, so we have to go very quick. Chabez, there are four Kinois in the Kinois of the Crusades. And Kina Chabez is the first of the four. The 1096. Okay, and here they write, it's very dramatic, as the parents, the most important, the thing on the minds of the parents was, what's going to be that kindelach? They're going to kill us, and they're going to take the kindelach, and they're going to baptize them. They're going to have them be raised as Christians. So what do the parents do? They said, we're going to shech them as korbanos to Hashem. Right? Bizarre as can be. That's what they did. That was the psak halacha. And they took the lives of their own children, they slaughtered them. And they said, look at the words here are so powerful. I'll read you what it says here. The Elemo Dibubamira. The moment when they killed their children, they said to their children, Loi Zochinu Ligadelchem La Torah. We were not Zoicha to raise you in the ways of Torah. Nimelo Nakrivchem Ka'oila Vihak Torah. So we're going to offer you as a sacrifice, as a carbon oila. And the Ketores. Unbelievable. And that's what they did. And in the Crusades, the first Crusades, between 10 and 30,000 people were killed. Al-Kiddush Hashem. And why are we so obsessed with the Crusades? Because the Crusades are still going on. They have never ended. The Crusades is a milchama between Esav and Yishmael over a world that's not theirs. It's our world. It's our world. It's Ratem Tivli Mamleches Kairin the Goy Kadosh. It's not their Eretz Yisrael, and each one Esav Nasati is Har Seir. Yishmol is not a Yoresh. Kilo Yirash in Bini im Yitzchak. It's not their world. It's not their Eretz Yisrael. It's not their world. It's our world. They have no business fighting over the world. We are the world. And the fact that they're fighting against each other is a very great Chil Hashem. They're fighting over what belongs to us. And the story of the Crusades is that we get caught in the crossfire. The Crusade is very much alive. Terrorism is all about Crusade versus Jihad. The Western civilization versus the East. The Muslims versus the Christians. The Mizrach and the Ma'arif. The Raveh Kashas versus the Al-Kharbucha Tichya. Nothing has changed in 920 years. It's all the same. Everything is the same. The Mela, it is critical to understand, to understand the Crusades, what it's all about, the Hashkafa, and that's what there are four kinos. Kino Chavdal, okay, Kino Chavdal, going very quick, is all about, the Ben Ubash of Yishmael. Okay, one of the most top public kinos. Each one was taken as a captive by a different master, and they wanted to mizdavig them together, and they to produce offspring to sell on the slave market. They cried, each one in their corner, and Yirmiyahu, he saw this, and he says, this is the worst of the worst. He used some amazing words. He says over here, Yirmiyahu, he says, Dulvavi yikad yikoy dechavia. In my heart, it is kindled a flame and a burn. L'shema zois titzalna oznayim. When you hear about this story, my ears, they ring. They ring in the pain of listening to such a pain. He writes, we call ke'ev tziri nivdal badol. From all the different sorrows in life, there's no sorrow like listening to what happened to the Beinu Bas of Rabbi Shmuel. It's very powerful stuff. Kina chof dalet. Kina chof dalet is all about the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash. All the various, we go through all the Kalim, the Shulchan, the Menorah. We break up the Beis HaMikdash into its parts, and we describe, we lost, basically there are two kinos like this. we take inventory. Okay, in the base Hamikdash, there are a lot of things, a lot of different types of utensils. It's the kiyar, the shulchan, the menorah, the yochin, the boyaz, the bayashen, all the mechainos. So we go through every little detail and we cry over the loss of every single detail. Kinuchav Hei is the second of the kinos of the Crusades. Kinuchav Hei is the historical account of three cities, what happened there in Kilei Shum. Kilei Shum are Shapira, Varamiza, and Magensa, which we are known as Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. How do you pronounce it?
Mainz. Yeah,
Mainz. Mainz. Yeah. Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. Ashpira, Varmiza, Magensa. It's an historical account exactly what happened, how many people were killed. That is Kina Chavet, the second of the Crusades. Kina Chavav, moving ahead, is... Okay, these two go together, really they're backwards. Kinuch Vav Gimel Zayin is the Maisa with Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, he goes outside and he sees a woman. He sees a woman dressed in black. Mitzad Echad, on the one hand, she's beautiful. But Mitzad Sheni, she's filthy, she's ugly. And Yirmiyah says, who are you? Who are you? Yirmiyah spoke to women in the street. You see that, Rabbi Isai? He spoke to women in the street. They would put him in Chayim today for that. So he spoke to this woman, who are you? Who are you? And she says, I am Knesset Yisrael. I am Knesset Yisrael. I'm dressed like an Amon. I'm beautiful, but I'm dirty because of the Chatoim. And she says, Yirmiyah, go to the Kivrei Avos. Go to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ask them to be Mispalel. Go to Sar, Rilch, Rav, Halel, Bill of Zilpa. And that's what happens over here. And he goes, and Hashem says, you're right. I mean, Hashem does not listen at first to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem does not listen to the most. But then at the end, Hashem says, I'm going to listen. Yesocha, the Medrash fills in, it doesn't say this in the Kina, that it's in the Zechus of Rachel. Rachel gave the Simonim to, gave it to Leah, and that's Zechus Hashem when Yesocha lefilaseich, Shema yikolei machoisai, my sister, we put the shame, the avoid of not embarrassing. Those are these two Kinas, they're backwards in order, but that's the Kina, there's a lot of Torah on this, you'll all hear tomorrow good stuff from wherever you go. Kina Chav Zayin. Kina Chav Zayin is... We did that. Those are the two kinos. Kinuch of Ches. Oh, Kinuch of Ches. What a shame. I won't do this with you. My favorite kina. We did it last year. I would actually want to do it, but we're out of time. This, the Dalam Alchias. It's more than the Dalam Alchias. This is the whole story of history of the Jewish people. This kina is mamish al ruach hakodesh. Last year, we spent a whole shiur on this. I went through with you word by word. We go from Mitzrayim. I'll just show you the first few words, the beginning. Eich tachamuni hevel. How can you give me comfort? My kinner is hevel. Benachlas hevel. In the nachal of hevel. Who's hevel? Yaakov. Yaakov hevel nachalosai. Where was Yaakov's nachala? Goshen. That's where we all started off. Koved olai od sevel. Vayar bisivloisam. It's not what it says in the arts one. I'm giving you a translation that you're not going to find in the translations. The first line over here describes the beginning of the tzaris. The beginning of the tzaris was in Goshen, the Avodas Perach, the Echenochim. Then what's the next tzara? B'yom zeh b'chol shone idan olai shina. This refers to the Meraglim, the years. Abechil l'chinam. Because of the Bechiyah L'chinam, that started a process of Bechiyah L'doyres. Gavar Choroin Nignas Oroin. Now what does that mean? Art scroll says it refers to the time of Yoshio. It cannot mean that. I'm sorry, with all respect to the art scroll, I have the greatest respect. I'm a product. You can put the logo on my skin. I'm a product of an art scroll, but it doesn't mean over here Yoshio. It can't because it's not in the timeline. This is Chorban Shiloh. Chorban Shiloh, the Oron was the Nishva Oron. The Oron was captured by the Pelishtim. We don't want to use the word Nishva. That's not a nice word. And also, you can't capture the Oron. Oron is Noisias Noisof. It was Nignas Biyad the Pelishtim. It was Nignas Biyad the Pelishtim. The Mishneh Shibaron, it was a double tragedy. Shiloh was Charaf, and Eli was Nifter. He died. The Gadol HaHadar died, and the Aaron was captured. Bim Sarvei Marom, because of the stubbornness of his two children, Chofni Upinchas, the corruption of the Kohanim, Vechenochem. This is the history, timeline. Mitzrayim, Meraglim, Chorban Shiloh, The next is Dirasi Chareva Veri Nishpa Rabba Sahaliva Boda Yoshva, the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. My Dirasi is the whole Eretz Yisrael is Chorev because my Eder, the Aseres HaShvatim, has been taken into captivity. And now Rabba Sahaliva Yerushalayim is Bodod. She's all alone. Her sister Ohola is gone. Yerushalayim is all alone. She had a companion. There was Ohola and Ohola. Now with the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, she's all alone. That's the next part of the Jewish history, Aseres HaShvatim. Then comes, now in the jump, then comes, this is very easy to find, then comes the Chum Bayis Rishon, the Chum Bayis Rishon, then comes, first he talks about the tragedy, the 97 children that were killed because of Zahar and Yehoyada, then is the Chum Bayis Rishon, then comes the Golus of Modai, which refers over here to, this that's very straightforward, of a Purim, of Mordechai Aviester and Haman, then is the Golus of Yavan, then comes the Churban Bayis Sheni, then comes Beitar. Now jump ahead, I'm going to very quick, very, very, go to Eifa. Eifa Nafshi Lihorgim. You see that towards the end? Eifa Nafshi.
Yeah.
This is the Crusades. There's no doubt about it. Eifa Nafshi Lihorgim, Lemisba Harugim, Ka'ayola Orgim, Velechon Harugim. That's the expression that's always in the keynotes, is that they died, they gave up their lives like an ayol. This is the Crusades. Next, Pulatzu B'yom Kribu B'mimush Chomar, that's the next crusade, that's the next 200 years. The second through 10th crusade is the Mizrach and the Ma'arav, that's the next 200-300 years of Jewish history. Al Dama M'orav Kahol Amvarav, the next 10 nine crusades. Sarois Al Tzara, Zu Mitziros, Gedolos U'Mitziros Aruchos L'Katzaros, that's expulsions. Inquisition, expulsions, pogroms, blood libels, v'chulu v'chulu. Next, Kashut Sinasam Khagu Khaniasam Dasur Machanoisam the Harichu Khalamaanisam, it's clearly referring to Tachvatat, the Khnilniki massacres, no doubt about it. Next, there's no way that you summarize for me the Holocaust. Okay, I'll give you five words to summarize the Holocaust in Hebrew. Who can do such a thing like this? To describe the Holocaust in World War II, World War I, World War II? Rabois an Choisai Vyatsumois Kinoisai. Rabu Nahamoisai Vyato Hashem Admosai. 6 million people? This is describing, without any doubt in my mind at least, describing the Holocaust, World War I, World War II, and the Holocaust. Next, the state of Israel. Okay, for all the Tzionim, the state of Israel. Shamata Cherpasam, with the establishment of 1948, the state of Israel, was the invention of the United Nations. And what do they do the whole day in the United Nations? They judge, this is mamish, this, you can't do better than this to describe. Shamata cherposam, all they do in the United Nations is they insult us. Cherfuni bisfasam, shiftam vikimasam, when they sit down, when they get up. Ani manginasam, I am the topic of their derision. This is starting from 1948 all the way into after World War II until today. Now, what's next? Chora apo, the world says that this is the last part of the Golos. Internal strife. We don't get along with ourselves. No one's bothering us now. I mean, they're bothering us from say the chashon. I mean, you know what I mean. But the problem that we have in our generation is internal. We can't come together. We're sick. Chora. Sorry. Now intifada. I'm sorry. Tikvaschem efo malchem po. This is the second half of the latter half of the 20th century, and now is exactly what all the world's intifada, all the nations say, what are you doing here? What are you doing in the Temple Mount? What are you doing here? This is not your land. Tikvaschem, what are you trying to accomplish? What's your hope? Malachem po. What is the Jewish people, the state of Israel, doing here in the Middle East? Pick yourself up and go to Uganda. This belongs to the Arabs. This is modern times. Okay, then we come to the 21st century. We come to Hayoim. Today, the problem is, we can't sit down together with each other. Okay, factions. Everyone is machlekes. Chora apo. They say about us, ain o lirpo. You can't heal yourself. We're sick. We can't put ourselves together. We can't get the medicine. Mm-hmm. Now here, tishuvosechem nisharamal. Tishuv means your repentance. I don't see that. I'm suggesting that. Okay, because the truth is, hatsori ain begilad. What does Chazal say? You find healing. Is there no tsori in gilad? You can't. It's in the Haftorah. It's in the Haftorah also. Healing is always used with doing tshuva. It's always a reference of the body. It's we have in Yechez all the time. Look out for that in the Haftorah, in the Kinois. Hatsori ain't the Gilad. Is there not enough medicine in Gilad? Tishuvosechem nisharmal. Now, I want to say it means your repentance. Ismal hunoni oivli habal. What's the baal? What's the baal? What is the essence of the baal? Im la Hashem luchu acharof. Im la baal luchu acharof. You're all living a double life. And we all know it's so true. We've never lived a double life more than in the history of the world like we live today. Because we have the opportunity to do so. Years ago, in previous generations, you couldn't live a double life. Couldn't. Because, I mean, what are you going to do behind closed doors anyway? And what could you possibly do? You can't have a fake identity. You know how many identities I have online? You know how many double lives you can have for business? I don't like using my name, so I have this account, that account to log in. Every time I have to use my name, I don't want to. So I just, whatever, for business purposes, I have to have these accounts to log in, to do for my... But people today have an opportunity to have a double life. The whole essence of the Baal Eliyahu B'Har HaKarmel is Im La Hashem L'chu Acharof. Im La Baal L'chu Acharof. The Baal, the people who worship the Baal, it wasn't exclusive. Loma Ata Poseach Al Shnei Asi'ifim. So they tell us Teshuvo Seichem. Don't read what it says in the article. Translation is your repentance. Your repentance is a lie. You come to shul and you shuckle and you clap a chay, you a nice black hat. Everything is good and kosher. You present yourself as being a tzaddik. Come on. It's small. You're a phony. Honuni of the habal. You're a faker. You're a hypocrite. You have a double life. That's the problem we have in our generation. This is the tzara. That's the golus. Ad! Mashiach yashkaif mimol moyim shol until Mashiach comes. Jewish history in a nutshell. Who wrote this? The Kalir. When did he write this? He certainly did not live to the Crusades. That's for sure. So how do you know about the Crusades? How do you know about Tachmetat? How do you know about Inquisition, expulsion? How do you know about the Holocaust? How do you know about Tikvas Cheme for Malachem Po? How do you know about Intifada? How do you know about all these things? How do you know? How do you know about these things? Obviously, this was written Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. This is a fascinating keynote. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's over here. This is just unbelievable. That this is the history of Jewish suffering from the beginning of creation until today. There's so much depth, and what I told you is probably just the tip of the iceberg of what you can extract. Okay, we're out of time, so I'm not going to do any more. I just want to tell you one vart. This is what you got to hear. You got to hear this vart. There's more, a few more kinois. They really don't have any more. Okay, there's another kino that talks about the Kehillah of the Beis Hamikdash. Then there's the kino about if they're really winding down. Eish Tugav Kirbi, we all know that. We sing that, the contrast between Yerushalayim, Mitzrayim, Yerushalayim. Okay, then we wind down with the other themes. And then we come to the Tzioins. Halayse Shali, Tzion L'Shli, the Yehuda Halevi. And how many Tzioins? Then we have also one more snuck in the middle is the Srefa Satara. Sha'ali Srufa Bo'eish Shom Avram Eranberg. Okay, so we went through a whole shiur on that. That's snuck in the middle. Now, how many tzions are there? Let me count. Okay, tzion, let's lam, so is lam advav. Let's do this together. 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. No, no, not 41, because 41 is Sha'ali, right? So let's skip 41. 42, 43, 44.
And that's it.
44.
Unless you count Elitzion.
Yes, let's count. Let us count Elitzion. Okay, so here's my vart. Is Tisha Niyodea. Let's go to the Seder. Let's go to the Seder. Pesach Tisha Niyodea. Tisha Niyodea. Tisha Yarchi Leida. What in the world does Yarchei Leida have anything to do with the Seder, have anything to do with anything for that matter? Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim V'aretz, when you want to go tell me how many fingers I have? You want to go tell me, I don't know, how many feet the small intestine is? My Inyan Tisha Yarchei Leida. What's going on over here? So the answer to this question is, how many tzioins are there on Tisha B'Av? You know, the first day, Pesach, is equal to Tisha B'Av. The same day of the week upon which Tisha B'Av falls is the day of the week when Tisha B'Av will fall. Right? So there's always this relationship between, this love-hate relationship between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. There's this Maror, the first night, the day of the week, v'chulu v'chulu. How many tzioins are there? Well, we just counted. There are nine. There are nine tzioins. What happens at the end, the last tzioin, the very last tzioin, at the end of the 9 months? Eli tzioin ve'orecha, kama yisha v'tzireha. The isha in her birth pangs. What happens at the end of 9 months? At the end of 9 months, this isha is vitzireha. We're comparing Klal Yisrael to the isha who's about to give birth. The tsar chevle leida. Isha vitzireha. A woman just out of the blue, she gives birth. In a vacuum, a woman has tsar chevle leida. It doesn't happen out of a vacuum. To get to a matzav of isha vitzireha, you have to have 9 months. This tisha yarche leida. Before you get to the isha vitzireha. If you want to say at the end of kinois, it's not fair to say, I always skip them. I just do the huda levi, and we skip the rest. So when you in order to get to the isha vitzireha, you got to go through the steps. You got to go through nine tisha. If the ish the elite tzion v'arecha is going to the isha vitzireha, you got to have the tisha yarche leida. That's why there are nine tzions. There are nine tzioins because there are nine steps. What is a tzioin? It's tzioin. A tzioin. A marker. A woman who's pregnant has nine markers in her pregnancy. I'm now the first month. The second month. You go to a doctor. Where are you holding? Which month? You don't say what day. You don't say what week. You don't say...
Say weeks.
Now they say, because now we live in a new world today. Okay, this is a nayazach. Okay, and Nayazach, but traditionally it's you talk about months. Month. There are nine markers. Tzion. What's a tzion?
Yes.
Tzion. Am I saying that right? Tzion? Tzion. 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 You've got to figure this out before tomorrow. There is markers. There are nine markers in a woman before she comes to Vitzireha, Isha Vitzireha. Each marker is part of the process of getting to the most magnificent thing in the world, the birth of a human being, to bring into this world a new neshama. Menela, what is Pesach all about? Pesach is the story of Jewish history. Mitchila oyvdi avod zohar avoseinu. And then we have Abraham Avinu. We go through the whole Jew. We go through Jewish history. It's Jewish history. When you come to the end of Tisha B'Av, you've reached another marker in the history of Klal Yisrael. The marshal of producing, bringing kedusha to this world is Tisha Yarchei Leida, which concludes with the pain of labor. You don't just say elite tzion, that's cheating. That's what I do. You have to say all of the nine tzions. The first eight plus elite tzion. Because tisha mi yodea. Tisha ani yodea. Tisha yarche leida. Before you can come to the elite tzion vitzireha. There's nothing that's more on mark, more on point, then saying by the Seder, Tisha Yarchei Leida. You're alluding to what you're going to say Tisha B'Av. Yeah. And after all, it's the same day in the week. You're going to say nine tzions. And the nine tzions, and it's a culminate with the Chevle Leida, which brings Mashiach. And to get there, we have to go through the steps of Jewish history. We have to go through those marks, those points, those milestones, to go through the stages of Jewish history. The Mela, we go through the nine, that's why there are nine tzioins. Zeh l'umazeh. This is perhaps the mahalach in the tzioin, the nine tzioin. Can I say, I wish you all a very meaningful, fast, and easy fast, and we should all meet together, the Yushalayim HaBenuya. Monday, what? Wednesday, 9:30, okay? Same time, same station.